One of the strangest ideas within physics is the concept of an Einstein-Rosen bridge, better known as a wormhole, depicted in science fiction many times, but perhaps most famously in Star Trek Deep Space Nine. Wormholes on their face, if they actually exist, offer two intriguing possibilities that might allow us, or someone else, to hack the universe and travel almost instantaneously from one point in the universe to another, or from one point in time to the past. This has led scientists to hypothesize about both the nature and the possibilities of wormholes, but also to try to close the loophole in relativity that seems to allow for them. This has led to an ever-growing group of wormhole possibilities, ranging from black holes being wormholes that might rip the very fabric of space-time and bend it back on itself, to allow for a connection between two distant points in the universe that wouldn't necessarily exist otherwise, or the idea of tiny quantum-scale wormholes constantly popping in and out of existence, one of which may have enlarged and precipitated the Big Bang, at least according to one hypothesis. The reality, however, is that we have never seen anything resembling an actual wormhole, but we have gotten indications of something like one, vaguely. For example, a black hole. If wormholes are time machines, then it might be conspicuous that black holes are also time machines, in the sense that you can get very close to one and move rapidly into the future than you can standing in empty space away from any gravity sources. Or take quantum entanglement, where some kind of state change can occur simultaneously between two entangled particles. What connects them? How do they act simultaneously? Why does there seem to be a built-in prohibition against sending information faster than light using this effect? Does that prohibition also apply to wormholes? Maybe. If the interiors of black holes actually are wormholes, then the prohibition is that it's impossible to survive traversing it. You get spaghettified long before you get to the singularity, and indeed time dilation gets so bad that the singularity simply always lies in your future, or at least the particles you were formerly made of, and you're simply stuck inside the event horizon forever. I know the feeling. You have fallen into the event horizon and such. That's if wormholes exist at all. There are all sorts of possibilities that one can think of in physics that nature doesn't prohibit, at least as far as we can tell from the math, but they may not exist practically. This involves all sorts of things like exotic matter, materials we've never seen and have no idea how to create, but are still in principle allowed by physics. Some of these materials are integral to the idea of stable traversable wormholes, for example. You could create rings of exotic matter, in this case anti-gravity negative mass, to hold the wormhole open. Negative mass is easy to envision at its most basic. If you have a block of material that weighs 1 kilogram, you could envision its negative component as weighing, if you will, negative 1 kilogram. While that might just seem like reversing a number by adding a negative sign, mathematics like this do have a tendency to describe the universe quite well, which is why physics is loaded with equations. Granted that if nature produces such a thing, it's unlikely we'd ever see it. Since being anti-gravity, you probably won't find much of it near gravitational sources like Earth, but it does at least provide a speculative framework for working with wormholes. And if it turns out you could physically work with them, a civilization doing so would possess and harness one of the greatest powers of the universe. Such a civilization would possess a complete mastery of both distance and time that make the activities of Doctor Who seem quaint. We all know the properties of wormholes that are often depicted in science fiction, but here's one that's not often seen, gravitational lensing. Yes, one of the most powerful gravitationally lensing objects in the universe could be wormholes. We know gravitational lensing exists. It's well established and can be seen here in this James Webb Space Telescope image. The gravity of foreground galaxies are distorting and bending the light from galaxies in the background. This works for any gravitational source. The reason we see depictions of black holes, such as Gargantua from Interstellar, showing a ring of light around the event horizon is because the black hole is warping the light from its accretion disk passing behind it around to the viewer. It's possible that wormholes do this as well, and could be detectable if they exist. The problem is, how do you distinguish the gravitational lensing effect of a wormhole from that of a black hole? Recent work done by Mian Xu and colleagues at the Hong Kong University of Science and Technology showed that while it would be difficult to tease out the signatures of black holes and wormholes bending light, it might be possible, especially if you're looking at groups of them. In a nutshell, if you're looking at an object being gravitationally lensed by a black hole, you should see any number of copies of the object behind it, depending on the circumstances. But with a charged wormhole, it turns out that it will either produce one or three images. If you see three, one should be brighter than the other two, opening the way for detecting and distinguishing a wormhole from a black hole. And there's more. This effect could magnify the lensed light by a factor of 100,000 times, which in principle could allow for using wormholes as very powerful telescopes. Hello, screaming alien technosignature indeed. If you saw a signature wormhole situated near a star system with habitable worlds, you'd have to wonder if it was artificial, especially if it can never be established that large wormholes do not occur in nature. But in the end, there's work that shows that wormholes, no matter how they are created, might be inherently unstable, especially if something tried to traverse them. They seem likely to immediately collapse, introducing a universal prohibition, especially to protect the timeline, should anyone intend to go back and change history. But there may be a loophole. This is in the form of electromagnetic radiation traversing a wormhole. Work done by Ben Kane and colleagues at the College of the Holy Cross in Massachusetts showed that while matter traversing a wormhole would collapse it, it would not do so immediately, and you might be able to squeak in an electromagnetic signal just before it implodes. In this model, you must also invoke exotic matter to hold it open. So what you might be able to do is open a wormhole with the exotic matter, send a probe through, and have it send off a signal back to you about the environment on the other side of the wormhole before the whole thing collapses. This is problematic because the model showed that not all the matter made it through, so you might end up with a non-functional partial probe on the other side. But in principle, the work shows that wormhole communications of some sort might be possible. But it might also violate causality, if the wormhole led to the past. This is the big problem for any time travel, or faster than light travel, which typically carries with it the connotation of time travel. It's the infamous paradox where if you go back in time and prevent your parents from meeting, you'll never be born, thus you should not exist. Everything we can measure about the universe tells us that the universe really doesn't like this. A good example here is the speed of light. The speed of light is often said to be the universal speed limit, but it is often painted as the fastest anything can go, in this case a photon. But it's more than that. Through Einstein, we know that the faster you go, the more time dilates, and the more energy you need to get up to speed. The speed of light in this context actually is the speed of time, because at the speed of light, time simply stops. This leads to the odd life of a photon. It does not experience time. To it, it's emitted and absorbed simultaneously, regardless of how in our frame of reference we see it as the time it took for it to travel a distance. But to go faster than light, you could in principle then travel backwards in time. This is the idea of the tachyon. Physics doesn't prohibit faster than light particles, but they would travel back in time and could never slow down to meet the speed of light. Again, this is a mathematical exercise and adding a minus sign to numbers and may not be practically possible. But the point is, to accelerate matter to the speed of light requires infinite energy, more than what exists in the entire universe. In other words, unrealistic requirements are needed to get past the time travel problem, in the sense of doing it by traveling faster than light. You can play with wormholes and black holes, but they may also simply have a prohibition against traversing them. You're just not allowed to, and that protects the timeline. Otherwise, the universe simply wouldn't work as it does. Maybe there are universes in the multiverse where these rules work completely differently and have no time continuum as we envision it. Rather, it's all in a constant state of revision. That would be a hard universe to live in, indeed. But we often think of black holes and wormholes as objects of travel. We think of them as something like a train that you might be able to travel with across space and time, but that might be the wrong approach. They could just as easily be telephone lines, useful only for communication, but nothing else. Or they might be used for purposes we're only just now starting to envision, such as David Kipping's Halo Drive, where binary black holes might be used to impart acceleration to a starship by firing a laser that gravitationally lenses around and gains energy from the interaction. But there might be another use entirely. Work done by Dvalia and Osmanov shows that at least black holes might make for ideal quantum computers. Wormholes, probably not so much. Quantum computers in general are beyond useful, which is why, at our current technological level, we pursue the technology. They can be many times faster than normal computers, and employ encryption that is virtually bulletproof. This means that the most efficient reservoir of quantum information might actually be a black hole. Black holes are amazingly energetic objects, at least the area around them. Their accretion disks accelerate matter to relativistic speeds, especially just above the event horizon of the black hole. This actually provides a way for civilization to tap enormous amounts of limitless energy, and may make black holes with accretion disks the place for SETI to look for technosignatures, as opposed to planetary systems, which advanced aliens may well abandon in search of useful black holes. Work searching for technosignatures in this kind of environment, along with those potentially around neutron stars, is still in its infancy, showing that it's possible we may be missing glaring technosignatures in the galaxy simply by looking in the wrong places. That said, turning a natural black hole into a quantum computer may not be ideal, and it may be better done with an artificial one. Here it would be a micro black hole, created in an accelerator, something we look to do in coming years in theoretical physics. All black holes emit Hawking radiation, which eventually results in their evaporation, but micro black holes emit it more strongly, and in a different spectrum than, say, a supermassive black hole to the center of a galaxy. An artificial one being used for computation might emit detectable signature particles, such as neutrinos, that could someday lead to the detection of a technosignature. But it would be a spooky one. Seeing neutrinos from an artificial black hole running a quantum computer would be something entirely alien to us. We are nothing close to that level, so we would be seeing evidence of an extremely advanced and mature alien civilization. If it can still be called a civilization, in that context it may be a single machine, beyond artificially intelligent, super intelligent, using the very laws of the universe itself to compute. We may never know the motivations of such a being. Rather, it may silently compute around its black hole and never choose to interact with us. And we would never even know why it even exists. Thanks for listening. I am futurist and science fiction author John Michael Godier, currently eyeing time travel suspiciously. 1997 JMG, how goes it? Sup? Wait, what happened to the beard? 25 years, buddy. How's that for an existential crisis? I'm going back to sleep. Yeah, there's an opossum, a talk show, and someone named Anna in your future. What? Leave me alone. Seinfeld's on. And dye your beard. And be sure to check out my books at your favorite online book retailer and subscribe to my channels for regular in-depth explorations into the interesting, weird, and unknown aspects of this amazing universe in which we live.